So there was a visiting pastor in a rural church, and his name was James Rowles, but his name was spelled R-O-W-L-E-S. And the guy he was supposed to introduce him said, I just can't remember how to pronounce your name. And he says, well, just remember it's Rowles, like hot buttered rolls. And so he came up and he said, everyone here is Reverend James Biscuits. Another funny thing happened today. We got a Christmas card from John Bierman, John and Sharon Bierman, who used to live here, but now they live in Missouri. So I'm like, wow, they're really on top of things, getting Christmas cards out in October, making me feel bad about myself slightly. But really, the postmark is from 2017. So this is last year's Christmas card. Just came in the U.S. Postal Service today. So that is slow. I must have carrier pigeoned that thing or walked it here, I guess. So, well, today I wanted to sing that song, Confidence, because it talks about some people that really shouldn't have been people that had confidence in God. They were just ordinary individuals who did something extraordinary because God called them to. I want to show you this picture, and I realize that you probably can't see it, but it says, Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses was a stuttering criminal. Samson was promiscuous. Gideon was doubtful. Rahab was a prostitute. Isaiah preached naked. When God called Jonah, Jonah ran away. Naomi was an old widow. Job went bankrupt. Peter betrayed Jesus. The disciples fell asleep. Martha was a worrier. The Samaritan woman was a multiple divorcee. Zacchaeus was greedy. Paul was ingrained in another religion. Timothy was too young and had ulcers. And Lazarus, well, he was dead. We are in good company thinking that we don't have what it takes to be used by God. But God uses us because he has called us. And so I was thinking about different movies, and this is a great movie, a great story. It's the story of Rudy. Rudy was just a normal, average kid who was too small to play football. Yet he put in the time, he put in the work, and his moment came, and he was able to shine and get the sack. That'd be great if that was your second play ever and your only play, that you get to make a sack on the quarterback. But Rudy shouldn't have been able to do that, right? He was too small. He had bad grades. He shouldn't even have been allowed to play on the football team, perhaps. Yet, he still was able to do that. Today we're going to talk about the story of Gideon. And this story is found in the book of Judges. And at the time, Gideon, the people of Israel, were being suppressed by the Midianites. And the Midianites were taking all their food and making it impossible for them to live. And so for 7 years, the Midianites were suppressing them and oppressing them as Israelites. Gideon was threshing wheat, and the angel of the Lord came to him as he was threshing the wheat and says, Mighty here, the Lord is with you. Gideon was, of course, taken aback, as maybe all of us would be if an angel appeared to us. And he says, What is this? What are you doing? And he said, I have chosen you, Gideon, to rescue your people. Yeah, right. I don't think so. You got to give me a sign. And so he gives him a sign on burning up his offering. And he realizes that was the angel of the Lord that he just spoke to and just kind of laughed at. And he thought, oh no, I'm going to die. But then the Lord spoke to him and said, you're not going to die. What I want you to do is go to your town, go to where your father has built an altar for Baal and the Asherah pole, and I want you to tear them down and build a new altar for me, the Lord God, and sacrifice on it. How many of you have ever done something, broken something of your parent, right? My dad had a car. And he always had the nice car, right? And we weren't allowed to come anywhere near it. We could get in it, get out of it, but there was no eating in it, no drinking in it, no anything like that. Okay, and you don't touch it unless you absolutely have to. Okay? And so I can just imagine God telling me to go do something to this car. Now, on a side note, when Logan was born, he got to touch all over the thing. And it was no problem all of a sudden for the grandkids to do it. But that's beside the point. But now, Gideon is told, go to your father who has built this pole and built this altar. Tear it down and build an altar to the Lord. So Gideon says, okay, I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it in the middle of the night. So he grabs 10 of his servants, and they do this. They tear down the altar to Baal. They tear down the Asherah pole. They build the altar to the Lord, sacrifice the bull on it, also from his dad. And the next morning, people are a little upset. What happened to this altar? What happened to this Asherah pole? And they find out that Gideon has done it. And so they go to Gideon's dad and said, send him out so that we can kill him. And Gideon's dad says, let Baal atone for his, defend himself. And so if Baal is true, then Baal will take care of Gideon. And of course, nothing happens to Gideon because we know that Baal is a false god, a false idol. So the Lord says to Gideon, I'm going to choose you to lead the army now to defeat the Midianites. And he said, whoa, God, you know, I know you've done this so far to me, but I am from the least important clan of Israel, and I'm from the least important family of Israel, and I'm the least important person in my family. So are you sure you want to pick me? He said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to put a fleece out tomorrow, and if all of the grass around the fleece is wet and that fleece is dry, then I'll know that you're really sending me. So the next morning, that happens. He goes around, the fleece is dry. But Gideon says, no, you know what? Really, let's do it reverse tomorrow. Let's make the fleece wet and the grass around it dry tomorrow, and then I'll know for sure. And so God does it. He wrings out the fleece. He says, okay, I'm all in. So he calls the armies together. He gets thousands and thousands of troops together to go and attack this Midianite army. The Midianite army was said to be as big as locusts, just filling this valley. They said the camels looked like sand on the seashore. This was a major army. And God tells Gideon, your army is too big, Gideon. Like, okay. So he says, ask your troops if anyone's afraid. And if they're afraid, they can go home. So 22,000 troops leave Gideon and his army and go home. The Lord says to Gideon, you still have too many troops. Because if you go in with this many troops, you guys are going to think that you're doing this when really it's going to be me that's delivering you. So he sets up a test and he says, go down to the river and have your men get a drink from the river and see which ones just stick their face in it to drink and which ones cup it in their hand and drink from their hand. 300 men cupped the water into their hand, and he said, those are the 300 that you're going to go into battle with. Everyone else, go home. So now you've got to think, in terms of these guys that are going home, what are they thinking about Gideon? Like, Gideon is this nobody who comes from nowhere, from no family. He's leading this army, and now he's sending all of the warriors home? Doesn't make sense. But God said to take those 300 warriors, and he went up above the valley, and he looked down, and he saw this massive army, and God said, if you're still scared, I'm going to give you some encouragement. And so sneak down into the camp and listen to what you hear. And so he went down into the camp, and one of the guards was talking to another soldier and said, I had a dream that a loaf of barley bread came rolling down the mountain and smashed my tent. So what does that mean? He said, well, that means that God's going to deliver us over to someone else. We're getting smashed. That doesn't sound right, does it? So Gideon goes back. He's encouraged. And he goes back up and he says, this is what we're going to do. Take a torch, put a clay jar over the top, and then take a ram's horn. He sent 100 men down one side, 100 men down the other, and he stayed on the side that they were at. And he said, when you hear me blow my ram's horn, you all blow your ram's horn, smash your clay pots, hold up your torches, and let the Lord bring us victory. And so that's what they did. Gideon blew his horn. They all smashed their things and they shouted, for the Lord and for Gideon. So do that with me. For the Lord and for Gideon. One more time. For the Lord and for Gideon. And all the people in the valley were so scared and so confused that God caused them to fight each other. And Gideon and his army won the battle without even having to go into the valley in the first place because God used Gideon. Someone who shouldn't have been put in the position that he was in, but God still chose him to deliver the entire nation of Israel out from the thumb of the Midianites. God does not choose those who are fit. He outfits those whom he chooses. And so when we think, oh no, we can't do it because of this, this, and this, God said, no, I've called you. I've called you to do this, and even though you don't feel like you're equipped to do it, I'm going to equip you to do it. We've been talking these last 3 weeks about outreach and being outwardly focused as a church. And we talked about how Kingdom Kids, they did their first service project on Wednesday. Okay, we're going to do 2 Wednesdays a month. Instead of having normal youth group and Kingdom Kids, we're doing service projects on those 2 Wednesdays. And so last week, the kids filled hygiene kits for First Call for Help, which is that's what they give to people who are homeless or stranded who need soap, shampoo, lotion, that kind of thing. And so they filled those kits and they were so excited filling those kits, getting to serve. And this Wednesday, we're going to Centennial Towers to play games with the residents and bring them treats and things. And you should hear the kids' excitement. We get to go serve. We get to go meet these people and be out in the community and doing something for God. It's exciting to hear. And it's also a little convicting at times. Like, why are these kids so excited to go out and I can't even talk to so-and-so about something? Why are these kids so on fire and ready to serve, yet I can't do one little thing? As a church, we have to fulfill the call of Christ to be outwardly focused, to make a kingdom impact on our city. And so we'll do those once-a-month service projects that we talked about. We don't have one for October, but November, we're going to be filling shoeboxes for Operation Christmas Child. And December, we're going to ring the Salvation Army bells at Walmart and Dillon's. So those are our 2 projects that we have in the works. And so I encourage you to plan now to come out and participate in these service projects. Because we want to make a difference in the community. We don't want to be a church that's so inwardly focused that we forget about the people that live right here in our neighborhood. A father and son were walking in the woods, and they came across a log that was blocking their path. And the son said, do you think that I could lift that log, Dad? The dad looked at the huge log and said, well, if you use all the strength you have, I'm confident you'll be able to lift that log. And so the boy went over to the log, kind of eyeballed it, rolled up his sleeves, went underneath it, tried to pick it up, couldn't get it picked up. So he tried again because his dad said, you can pick this up, you can move this if you use all your strength. After a few minutes of futile attempts, though, he said, Dad, what happened? You said that I could lift this. And the dad looked at him and said, I said you could lift it if you used all your strength. And you didn't, because you didn't ask me for help. Together, they were able to work and to lift the log out of their path. And together, we can be outwardly focused. Together, we can make an impact on our community. It can't be just one person. It can't even just be the church board. It has to be all of us united, together working to impact those in our community. So what will you do? What will you do to help impact the community? What will you personally do to help our church focus outwardly on the people who need a relationship with Jesus Christ? Last week we said your challenge is to bring someone, invite someone to church this week. Did you do it? But come to church. Join us on Sunday. Wear whatever you want. It's okay. So that's your challenge next week. Invite someone again to come join us at Hayes Christian Church next Sunday. The other thing is, in your bulletin, there is a piece of paper that says idea for a service project. That's your other assignment this week. I want you to think about organizations that you're involved in. Maybe it's someone that you know that needs a project done at their house and they can't afford to have it done. Maybe it's a group that you belong to. Maybe it's a group that you know of that's here in town that has something that we could do as a church to do a service project for. So fill out as much of this information as you know and put it in. There'll be a basket. Put it in the prayer request basket on your way out the door today, or just leave it in your chair and we'll pick it up after service. Okay? If you can't think of something right now, you can email me this week. Okay? Kevin@HayesChristianChurch.org. Or you're also allowed to call me. That's okay too. My number's in the bulletin. Okay? So this week, our tasks: bring someone and come up with an idea for a service project. And there's two of these in every bulletin, so if you want to get extra credit, you can come up with more than one.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at HayesChristianChurch.org and click on the Donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.